Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. We have services every evening at 8 o'clock and twice on Sundays, 3 and 8. And the Lord directed me to not have, you know, people, to tell the people in the church that if you have questions to ask, save them until after the service. And I'll be happy to answer them at that time, if I can, you know. And usually I'm able to do so. Okay? And people say, pride. No, it's not pride at all. I know the Bible, okay? Praise the Lord. And it's not proud to say that you know it. You know, you hear so many people saying, come into the church and you're going to get a powerful message. Well, we pray that that'll happen this evening also. Amen?
Amen.
We rely strictly on the Lord. So let's go up to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint with his outward anointing the service. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, pour out your outward anointing. Lord, we have your inward anointing, which is eternal life, permanent eternal life, the life of God. We all have temporary life, but now, because we accepted your permanent life, your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, your eternal life into us, we now have immortality. And Lord, we have become God-men and God-women. You stated when you were here that the Spirit of God had begotten you, and we have been begotten also by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we have become your incarnation here on earth. You are completing your work here on this earth. And so the work that we do is not to be our own. It must be your work, the work of God. That's why we're not allowed to stand before you on Judgment Day. Lord, did we not do a great and mighty work? Did we not do great miracles? Did we not cast out devils? No. The Lord says, I don't recognize you. I never knew you. And so we must make sure that we're led by your Spirit, that everything that is done here this evening is from heaven, directed right from your outward anointing, so that people can not only be saved, but the church can grow inwardly with your Spirit. Your word is spirit and it's life. Your word is the only truth in the entire universe. Everything else is meaningless but you, Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. Lord, direct this service, and you've directed me to do our radio broadcast from here this evening with testimonies, letters, so that I don't have to do it down the hill and over here also. And so, Father God, we ask that you bless the radio broadcast, the reading of your word, and that you give me your expounding instead of mine. And everyone else that may appear on this broadcast, Father, we ask it for your glory, not ours, yours. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
We cut the song service early tonight because these broadcasts sometimes take an hour or more. We try to keep it down to an hour. This is the first time that I've tried it here at the church, and I think it's going to be nice because sometimes I'm going to call different people up for testimonies, and you'll be famous worldwide. Amen? So don't get scared or anything. Only about 2 or 3 billion people will be listening to you. I don't want you to get nervous, right? No, there's 5 or 6 billion people on earth. Only about 1 or 2 billion will be listening to you. So, in other words, don't sweat it. Amen? Just be in the Spirit, all right? And we have one song on a radio broadcast, and it's the big orchestra that we had here before. But the Lord instructed me to fan them out all over the country. There are people in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and around Texarkana, and out in New Jersey, and all different places. And there's witnessing crews that are out all the time. And so we just have to build a new choir. How many here would like to be in the choir? Yeah, see, there's like, you know, we have like maybe a 30, 40 voice choir here, and how many would like to be in the orchestra? You know, we used to have people here that didn't know how to, they didn't have a drum, we didn't have money to, so we had congos and bongos, and we had drum sets and everything like that. Ones that didn't have it, they took a 2x4 up here, and they were beating on that, And it came out great, you know. We had over at the other place in Crescent Heights, there was a woman called, she was a young woman, and she was just one of those hippies, and she got a couple garbage can lids and would use them for symbols. But we had all kinds of garbage. We had hundreds and hundreds of people at the service. And then we got refined, and you can see it on the pictures, you know, where we had a huge choir and orchestra on international television. And we're shooting for that again right now, so we got to get plan ahead. Don't be despondent or think that that something is going to wreck that. We have to continue on, even though the devil has tried to discourage people. We're never to be discouraged because we have the great consolation that we've got eternal life. Amen? All right, now, you can bring the book up and the testimonies, the letters, and all the different things that we do on this tape. Michelle and Sharon, come on up. Now, what do we have here? How many letters do we have tonight, Sister Michelle?
Two what?
Two what?
Two letters.
And do you have any call-ins or anything like that?
No.
No. Okay. Where are these letters from?
I got one from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And where's the other one from? Africa?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead with it.
I read your newsletter. It was left on my truck at our local mall. It has really stirred something in me. I was raised a Seventh-day Adventist, and I tried a Baptist church after, but never believing in the rapture or being saved as they teach it. I was hoping you all have a church here in Albuquerque. Could you please let me know? I haven't attended one in years. I would like to start. I feel as you. Time is very short, and I need to get myself, my children, and grandchildren right with the Lord. Thank you for your newsletter! Sincerely, I.D.C. from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That's what this is. Praise the Lord. That's what this church is a spiritual boot camp. We need somebody in this congregation or in one of our congregations to open a church in Albuquerque. Amen? We need one in Manhattan. We need maybe many of them in Manhattan and many of them here in Southern California, Northern California. And that's why the Lord wants you to learn. You're not supposed to just be sitting here learning all the time, because there's a time that we all become mature in the fullness of the stature of Christ. And when that happens, you're reigning with the Lord. That's the epitome of the fullness of the stature, that you're in the church life always, and you're always pouring the Spirit, the Word, into your vessel, and you are reigning for the Lord. You don't let anything take over your service. You go in there, you're strong enough to, if it's some satanic thing happens in the church, that you're strong enough to call up the song leader or something and start clapping your hands and praising the Lord and let the Lord start taking over the service. Amen?
Amen.
Or the pastor himself, if he can sing. You know, if you can sing, you don't have to. You know, you could have a song leader and you'll have them come up, or just get the whole congregation. Used to be in our congregation, when somebody'd come into the church, they'd fan out and they were like rabble rousers, and we'd make an announcement that they're not supposed to talk during the service. And they'd stand up and say, sir, we got a question to ask and stuff like that. And so what I'd do, Sue and I, we'd just have everybody stand up and start singing, Are You Washed in the Blood? And then our bouncers would come and grab them and escort them out the front door and ask them what bush they want to be thrown into. Amen. See, that's taking power and dominion and authority over the service. Hey, right? And if a child starts crying, we have a room in the back there, because then we have speakers so that the mothers can hear the service going on as well. And if there's a dog barking outside, well, we get some brothers out there and take them for a ride down the hill. All right? So, now where's the next letter from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay. Is it a good one?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We don't let bad ones be read, right? Go ahead.
Dear Pastor, I send you my greetings from Ghana, the land of peace. Please, how are you? I hope by God's grace everything is fine with you, your family, and also your ministry. Please, I am very pleased to tell you that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and opened the door of my heart to rule my life for me. Pastor, I also thank you for what you have done for me, because I was standing between life and death, and after reading your literature, the Messiah book, you have brought me into life. I was in the dark, but you brought me into light. Please, I really appreciate what you have done for saving my life. I always pray that the good Lord will bless you, give you long life, and prospering. Please, I want you to put me on your mailing list so that I will be able to receive your mail and distribute it to other people, and I know that they will be saved after reading. Please, the only difficulty I am passing through is that I don't have a Bible, and I beg you, please send me one. Please, Pastor, I really want to receive anointing blessings of our Lord, so please, I want you to pray for me here. Please, I would like to end here with much greetings. Hope to hear from you soon. Yours in Christ, COA, from Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, now these, praise the Lord. Now, these letters all go to the mailroom, and the Bible or anything they ask for, literature, the Messiah books, whatever, is sent to them instantly. And a lot of them want to become distributors in their area, and that's how Africa is really getting saved. There's some churches over there that say they have 500,000 people that they minister through the different literature that I've written and these tapes that we do. And so we can praise and thank the Lord about that. Amen?
Amen.
Because everyone in this ministry gets the same reward because you're the ones out distributing literature. And we thank and praise the Lord for all the different distributors throughout the entire world. They're everywhere. And in the United Kingdom, over in the Philippines, Africa. I think one of the biggest works we have is in Africa and India. Those are two real biggies for us. And, of course, we're really blasting the devil here in the United States. Okay, so we have the book of Acts, chapter 27, with its 44 verses. We have the translation and commentary that I always do. And then also part 20 of spiritual warfare. And so, you ready with that? Because of the fact that we have 44 verses here, most people are going to be reading from their King James anyway, and so you can parallel with the translation that I have here with King James, as we do on the tapes, all right? Okay, go right ahead with the translation. 44 verses, the book of Acts, chapter 27.
The Apostle Paul sails for Rome, verse 1. When the time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of an army officer named Julius, a captain of the imperial regiment. Verse 2. And Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was also with us. We left on a boat whose home port was Adramyttium. It was scheduled to make several stops at ports along the coast of the province of Asia.
Now, you know, Alexander Scorby, who has the Talking Bible, he says it Macedonia, but the correct speaking the Greek language is Macedonia. All right, so we don't try to do everything real straight here. All right, and it's not Capernaum, it's Capernaum, the way the Jews say it. And after all, it is in Israel. Amen?
Yeah.
They ought to know what they're talking about.
And then what? Verse 3. The next day when we docked at Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore to visit with friends so that they could provide for his needs. Verse 4. Putting out to sea from there, we encountered headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course. So we sailed north of Cyprus between the island and the mainland. Verse 5. We passed along the coast of the province of Cilicia and Pamphylia, landing at Myra at the province of Lycia. Verse 6. There the officer found the Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy, and he put us on board. Verse 7. We had several days of rough sailing, and after great difficulty we finally neared Cnidus, but the wind was against us. So we sailed down to the leeward side of Crete, past the Cape of Salmon. Verse 8. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at fair havens near the city of Lycia. Verse 9. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for long voyages by then because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it.
All right. Now you see that Paul was struggling. This ship was in a lot of trouble that he was on. A lot of people think that because of the fact that they're born-again Christians, that nothing like that could ever happen. But if you read the 66th Psalm, you'll see that God puts us sometimes into a net to test us, and sometimes he lets troops run over the top of our heads, and he's testing us. The Lord even tested his own son. He sent his son by the Holy Spirit, led him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And everybody is being tested or tempted. Tested means to see, he's trying your reins to see if you really want to get into heaven, if you really want to get into the promised land, the eternal kingdom of God, to have permanent life. And so we're going to go through all kinds of trials and tribulations because it's God's way to, it's his, the way he operates is through testing us. Find chapter 66. You've got the Bible, Sharon, and you start reading some of that because this is very important. The Lord is laying it on my heart. You've heard of Route 66? Just think of that all the time when you're being tested and get a hold of that chapter. Sharon, you come up and read that, okay? Here, I got so much reading up here, and we can't just place it all on one person. Go ahead.
Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands.
Yeah, even though you're going through trials and tribulations, like I was explaining the other day when I was in prison for the gospel's sake, I got so weary, I says, Lord, am I in here for something that I did wrong? Because I can't think of it. And I says, give me something to go on. I mean, this is like a fire. I was away from my son who's back here playing guitar, and my other son, and my wife, and my God, this is horrible. I mean, this is 4 years going on, 4 years now, Lord. And he said, you're saved. I says, oh, thank you, God. And then he, I says, I need something more, though. And he said, you're going to heaven. Now read my word, and you'll see that this is the way I operate. I'm putting you through fire. And at the same token, I want you to still maintain the testimony while you're here in this prison. And I see that you're winning souls, and just keep it up. And don't be afraid of these Muslims in here, because they are saying all kinds of things to me. And I just tell them, is this true and is that true? And I tell them, yes, it is. And tell them, they say, well, God is black. I said, where does the Bible says that he's a Jew, all right? And it says he has hair like wool. He says, as wool. I said, no, it's like the color of wool is what it was, white. He's shown himself as the Lamb of God that is slain from before the foundation of the world. A sheep, a lamb, amen? That's always depicting the Lord. God is a Jew. He's got the same color of skin that I do and Sharon does. We're Jews. And God said we Jews would be preaching the gospel in the last days, just before Christ comes back to earth. And it's amazing that it's the Jews that are fulfilling Bible prophecy. The Gentile dispensation came to a close in 1947-48 when the Jews were returned to Israel. And they're the ones that's going through the persecution. Some people say that they are the most persecuted people in the world, but the Jews are and always have been. They've been the most persecuted. It was Egyptians that were persecuting the Jews. They were northern Africa. They were persecuting us. Unless you, the pharaohs are all blacks. Amen? Yeah. Or no? Wow, that's amazing. And so is all Israel. Black, and the Lord told them because they were so sinful to go in and kill them. Now this is the real truth. He says, kill them and take that land over. And so some people say, oh, well, you shouldn't teach that. You're going to get the NAACP on you. Hey, I'm not worried about the devil in hell. You know, let them come. Amen. I've been preaching this for a long time. Now go ahead.
Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious.
The woman at the well said, how is it that you, being a Jew, are talking to me, a Samaritan? Amen? Yes. He's the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the root of Jesse, the line from the tribe of David. He's a Jew. He's born in Bethlehem of Judea. He's a Jew, and he's the world's greatest Jew. And I saw Jesus appear to me, and with my eyes wide open, and he is the same as I am. I mean, we're all going to have the same color of skin in the kingdom of heaven anyway. We're all going to be gold. I saw that too. The Lord showed me that. And, you know, like, it's for sure that I'm not prejudiced. I have almost all black. HB and I have been friends for over 50 years, and I think he's the greatest guy. And he's one of the only ones that showed up for me in my trial of people that I knew from the past when I was being tried in Arkansas. He flew all the way in from Chicago to testify me, to make for me, and they said, "Why are you testifying for Tony Alamo?" He says, "Because we're friends, man. We're real friends, okay? And we have a love for each other, and we've been doing business with each other for ever since I'm like 20 years old, and I'm 70 now, okay? Almost 71. And I'm still a kicking, right? All right, go ahead.
Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works.
How terrible. God said he's a terrible God. Amen. I said that in a message a couple of nights ago. Amen?
Amen.
It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, because he means what he said. He's not a kidder. He's not kidding around with people. He's not joking. He's not a joker. He's a terrorist. And I can prove it to you. I mean, if you want to stay here after the service, I'll show you scriptures where it says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Amen? And he says that he terrorizes people on their way if they don't repent. On their way to hell, he laughs at them and mocks them while they're going to hell. That's horrible to me. I mean, it's just like I would be so... I can't think of anything more horrible than to have my Creator laughing at me and maybe thumbing his nose at me because maybe I thumbed my nose at him during my lifetime. Or that I wanted to twist the scriptures to make it to where it's the way I want it rather than the way his will is. Okay? He says, that's a terrible God. Read that statement again.
Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doings toward the children of men.
Ho ho! Yes. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
Because I'll guarantee you're going to pucker when you see him if you're sinning. Amen? Just like when I used to steal apples when I was a kid, man. I'd step it up real fast and start running. My brother was paralyzed. He just go, when the guy caught him up in the tree. Okay, go ahead. Brother Danny. All right, go ahead. That's worse when God catches you up a tree. All right, go ahead.
He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard.
Which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried.
I was tested. I've been tested many times. I've been stoned with, and not the kind that people with weed. I was actually had stones put thrown on me out here on Sierra Highway, and I've been put in prison and in jails, and I still praise and thank the Lord I have the joy. So he says he tests us, amen? In other words, he tries us. He puts us through fire. Go ahead, keep reading there.
Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction...
He brought us into the net. You know, when you're put in a net, you're like a prisoner. You can't get out. It's frustrating. You have to depend on the Lord. And when you're in that kind of a position, you may say, oh, am I really saved? How come God is allowing this to happen to me? It's like the Apostle Paul on this ship, and it's getting tossed to and fro, and they're even going to be shipwrecked, but he had enough of the Lord in him where he was rejoicing, and he was seeking the Lord, and he was comforting the men on the ship, saying that none of you are going to be killed. I have complete direction from the Lord, and I know what I'm doing. Okay, then what?
Thou laidest affliction upon our loins.
Oh, the Lord lays affliction upon us. The psalmist David and his people. Yes, he has. We were afflicted in Egypt for years. We were there in Egypt 400 years. This country has only been here a little over 200 years. So anybody that's been afflicted here hasn't been afflicted as much as us. and in Egypt, and also they were killing our babies and whipping us and everything else. And not only that, we've been the devil's been trying to kill us ever since we began, even Christ. They tried to kill Moses. That goes back a long time ago, amen? And they're still trying to destroy Israel. And all the nations of the world are going to rise up against Israel, not Africa. We're the persecuted ones. And if you're a spiritual Israelite, we're the minority. You and I don't care what color your skin is. If you're a spirit-filled Christian, I've got two strikes against me. I'm Jewish, and I'm a Christian. So we're a real minority, amen? And if you're black and you're a Christian, it's the same thing, right? We're in this together, right? Okay, go ahead.
Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads.
You caused men to ride over our heads. You caused your son to go out into the wilderness and be tempted by the devil. Why? Because I want to see what fiber you're made out of. I want to see what you're made out of. What kind of stock? Are you the stock of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Are you a son of the living God? Let's find out right now, because I'm going to let you into the kingdom of heaven if you are, and if you're not, you're going into hell. Now it's up to you. Show me. Walk in the Spirit, and thou shalt not fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you can't be perfect, is what the devils are saying today. The Lord says, you must be perfect. And we are perfect if you walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now Hitler was a better speaker than I am. But he didn't have anything good to say. I'm telling you all kinds of goodies. Amen? And from the Word. Yeah, I didn't make this up. Go ahead.
We went through fire and through water.
Oh, so did I. How about you?
Yeah.
Are you willing to sleep on the floor if necessary or out in the wilderness like Jesus did? He says the Son of Man doesn't have even any place to lay his head. Amen?
Amen.
He went through fire even to the death of the cross. And who are we? Amen? That we shouldn't go through fire. He went through it all for us. Okay? It's worth it.
But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place.
Oh, so when you go through the fire, when you go, you get out of the net, and he delivers you off the shipwreck and everything, he delivers you into a wealthy place. Isn't that nice? That's why you know it's going to happen. That's why you should be rejoicing all the time. Amen? Now let's get back to the Apostle Paul on his ship. All right? I mean, you can finish reading the 66th Psalm, Route 66. That's the route we have to take. Amen? So, now let's continue on, please.
Verse 10, quote, "Sirs," he said, "I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, injuries, and danger to our lives," unquote.
Oh my, he's going through some fire here, amen? But he said, who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Eh? Can shipwreck, prison, persecution, being stoned, being spat upon, having to sleep on the floor, having to wash the dishes, have to clean the toilet, have to, you know, comply with different things in this world? I mean, when the officer in jail prison told me, I'm standing in line waiting for an hour and a half to get on the phones, and he says, "Hey, boy." And I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Go get some ice." I didn't say, "Hey, man, you know, I'm next in line over here to be on the phone." I said, "Yes, sir." And I went and got the thing, and his face fell, because the Lord says that I'm supposed to do that. Amen? Agree with the adversary quickly when in the way with you. Amen? And so I said, "Oh, yes, sir." And some of the guys saying, "Hey, man, he's next in line." I said, "Shh, be quiet, man. I'm obeying the commandments of the Lord." So I went and got some ice for the people in the hole. The hole here over in Texarkana, I keep forgetting my in L.A. now, right? Is right next to the phones over there in Texarkana in the hallway. So I went over to the ice machine where the geedunk stand is, and I filled it up, And some of the guys says, can we help you, Tony? I says, no, man, let me fill it up. And so I took it over there and took it into the hole. And the cop comes back out with me and says, hey, Alamo's next, okay? He was next in line. He knew that I was. And he saw that I went through there, and he was under tremendous conviction. So whether it seems right or wrong for you to do what the Lord says, do it because the Lord is right. Amen? And that guy really got, that was a stupid thing like that. It was a tremendous testimony to that man. Because I heard inmates say, hey, man, I was next in line. Man, what are you doing? I mean, why don't you call him? He's way at the tail end. No. Agree with him instantly. That guy's got the power to just throw you into the hole. I mean, take your visitation rights away. And besides, God tells you to do it. Amen? Okay, go ahead.
Verse 11. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than Paul. Verse 12. And since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go to Phoenix, farther up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. The storm at sea. Verse 13. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it, so they pulled up the anchor and sailed along close to the shore. Verse 14. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength, a quote, northeaster, unquote, they called it, caught the ship and blew it out to sea. Verse 15.
Well, Paul could have said, oh, God, I guess you must hate me. I guess I'm just going to jump in to sea or something. No, he just stayed in there with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Praising and thanking him. Okay, then what? Asking him, Lord, is this the end? I know that it's not because you've already told me that I had to witness the king. Amen?
Amen.
So I know this isn't the end. Okay, then what?
Verse 15. They couldn't turn the ship into the wind, and so they gave up and let it run before. Verse 16. We sailed behind a small island named Clauda, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat that was being towed behind us. Verse 17. When we banded the ship with ropes to strengthen the hull, the sailors were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor and were thus driven before the wind. Verse 18. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. Verse 19. The following day, they even threw out the ship's equipment and anything else they could lay their hands on. Verse 20. A terrible storm raged unabated for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. Verse 21. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, quote, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Fair Havens. You would have avoided all this injury and loss. Verse 22. But take courage! Exclamation point. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down.
Okay, so he's predicting, because he's talking to the Lord, that the ship is going to go down and none of you are going to lose your life. So relax. Okay, then what?
Verse 23. For last night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. Verse 24. And he said, quote, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar! Exclamation point. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you, unquote. Verse 25. So take courage! Exclamation point.
That's why it's so important for you to be hearing from God, because he could have let those people just go off if he hadn't heard from the Lord. A lot of people die and are sick and are afflicted because to them the word of God bores them to death. But if I were you, I wouldn't be bored with the word of the Lord, because the Bible says that his words are spirit and they are life. It's your life. So you should grasp on. You must do that if you want eternal life. To every word. It may seem boring to you, but when you're standing before the Lord, you're going to wish that you listen to every word. Because man does not live by temporal food alone, but man lives by also every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 25. So take courage! Exclamation point. For I believe God. It will be just as he said. Verse 26. But we will be shipwrecked on an island. Unquote. The shipwreck. Verse 27. About midnight on the 14th night of the storm, as we were being driven across the Sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near. Verse 28, they took soundings and found the water was only 120 feet deep. A little later, they sounded again and found only 90 feet. Verse 29, at this rate, they were afraid we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore. So they threw out four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Verse 30, then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from the prow. Verse 31, but Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, quote, you will all die unless the sailors stay aboard, unquote.
Okay, so there's 10 more verses. Then what?
Verse 32, so the soldiers cut the ropes and let the boat fall off. Verse 33, as the darkness gave way to the early morning light, Paul begged everyone to eat. Quote, you haven't touched food for 2 weeks, unquote. Verse 34, he said, quote, please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair of your heads will perish, unquote. Verse 35, then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them all, and broke off a piece and ate it.
You know, there's so much false prophecy in churches today that people have a deaf ear to the real prophecy, and that's a sad state of affairs. When I first got saved, we had Crescent Heights. I'd been saved for about 4 years, and there were these heretics that would come into the church and say, Tony, come on, let's go down to the Full Gospel Christian Businessmen meeting over there with Demas Shakarian, and you prophesy and I'll interpret. I said, what are you talking about, man? I'm not going to prophesy unless the Lord gives me. He said, well, just, you know, prophesy. I says, you know, I mean, I've seen many people do that. They go into churches and they start carrying on like that. And consequently, it's happened so much here in the United States that people don't even pay any attention to the real word. That's sad. Go ahead.
Verse 36, then everyone was encouraged. Verse 37, and all 276 of us began eating, for that is the number we had aboard. Verse 38, after eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. Verse 39, when morning dawned, they didn't realize the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could get between the rocks and get the ship safely to shore. Verse 40, so they cut off the anchors and left them in the sea. Then they lowered the rudders, raised the foresail, and headed toward shore. Verse 41, but the ship hit a shoal and ran aground. The bow of the ship stuck fast while the stern was repeatedly smashed by the face of the waves and began to break apart.
The bow, I'm from the Navy, okay, and not the boat.
Verse 42, the soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape. Verse 43, but the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so he didn't let them carry out their plan. Then he ordered all who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land. Verse 44, and he told the others to try for it on planks and debris from the broken ship, so everyone escaped safely ashore! Exclamation point.
All right, that was the 27th chapter of Acts, and that was the 44 verses translation. Now the commentary.
Chapter 27, verses 1 through 15. It was God's plan that Paul go to Rome, but his journey there was hardly straightforward. After years in prison, Paul was finally put on a ship bound for Rome. He arrived there only after surviving a life-threatening storm and shipwreck. Paul had no control over the means of timing of getting to his destination, but Paul knew God wanted him in Rome and was confident that he would eventually get there. We can be sure that the Lord wants us to reach a certain destination, and that's the kingdom of heaven. We can be sure that he wants us to grow to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We aren't like the Apostle Paul. We don't have complete control over the route we will take to get there. The Lord has to create environments for us, and he lets us go through certain things for us to be able to grow. Just because of the fact that we might be faithful does not ensure a life without storms or shipwreck. Yet God guarantees that his presence and power will be with us, and that we will arrive at our ultimate destination, heaven, if we continue on till the end. Chapter 27, verses 13 through 26. After two storm-tossed weeks, the sailors had given up hope, and everyone was hungry and terrified. Yet Paul urged all of them to believe God's promise that they would survive. Not one of them would be killed. The fate of 276 people, passengers and crew, hung in the balance. Paul's courageous faith was met with assurance that he would reach Rome, yet not without hardships. Life in growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ is often like that. We are assured by faith in the positive outcome, but it is usually attained by persevering through many difficult times. The Lord says that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Chapter 27, verses 9 through 12. Early, the ship's captain and owner had ignored Paul. Chapter 27, verses 30 through 36. But this time they listened carefully. Paul assured them that even though the ship would be destroyed, all the passengers would reach land safely. The next day the ship ran aground and was destroyed by the winds and waves, but all the passengers were safe. Few of us have an awareness of the future day by day as Paul did. There is a few of us that do, though. But we can have the same confidence in God's power to protect us when we follow His will. We are able to have success in growing to the fullness of the stature by walking obediently by faith, one step at a time, one day at a time.
All right, now that was the commentary of chapter 27, 44 verses, translation, commentary, and now for spiritual warfare, part 20.
The results of spiritual warfare. The first result of spiritual warfare is the bringing in of God's authority into this world. The amount of warfare that we wage determines how much or the amount of God's authority that we will bring in. If we believe that God is the authority, then we're going to bring in His authority. God's authority is only able to be executed in the place of our desire to fight the satanic things that Satan has brought forth in this world. If this spiritual warfare transpires in an individual, then God's authority reaches that individual. If it occurs in the home, then God's authority through that person will reach the home. If it takes place in the church as well, then God's authority is able to reach into the church as well. Therefore, the first result of spiritual warfare is the bringing in of God's authority. So there are a lot of people that say they're Christians, but among these people who say they're children of the Lord, the children of God, and those that are, there aren't enough of them who are fighting spiritual warfare. The element of spiritual warfare is far too small. Therefore, Satan still rules in the air and on the earth. When your spiritual experience is rather shallow, your sense of spiritual warfare is very weak. You will still feel that your problem is within the world, the flesh, the self, and the natural constitution.
You never get out of fighting your own flesh. You have to put the cross to every part of yourself, your self-life, your natural constitution, and all the other aspects that I brought forth in the messages.
When you deal with these and enter into the fourth stage of spiritual life, your experience is deepened and you will be able to see that the body which God uses in the universe is we, the church. Then you have a strong sense towards spiritual warfare, knowing that whatever we do, our every action, word, and attitude is an influence upon Satan and an attack against him. Only at that time will you feel strongly that your only problem is Satan. It really is yourself because of what Satan tells you to do that doesn't follow what the Lord has to say, and that you are here in this world as warriors to deal with this enemy of God, and he's your enemy as well. He's everybody's enemy. You'll be able to see clearly that your preaching of the gospel is not merely to save souls, but even more, to cast out the devil. Your edifying the saints and administering the church life are not merely for the building up of the church, but even more so to fight for God and ourselves and chase away the power of darkness which usurps all of us. Therefore, God's authority can come upon a group of people or on certain matters and reign over them. Upon arriving at this point or this level, whether you are preaching the gospel, edifying the saints, or administering the church, the body, our attainment is always to aim at Satan as the object of our dealing. You know that which hinders the gospel is not the outward environment, but Satan. You know that the thing that usurps man and causes them not to love the Lord is neither human ties nor the flesh, but the satanic power of darkness. You know also that the reason for all the confusion, striving, indifference, and corruption in the church is nothing else but Satan. Therefore, you do not deal with things that appear on the surface, but through the position and authority of the ascension, you deal with the power of darkness, which schemes behind these things and reigns on the earth.
Thank you very much. That's why salvation happens to be the death of the Lord. This is really the gospel. It's the death of the Lord, the burial of the Lord, and the resurrection of the Lord. And there's more, the ascension of the Lord, the sitting with Christ in high places, the reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ there in spiritual warfare. That is complete salvation. If you're not involved in spiritual warfare, then you're not at all alarmed at what Satan is doing in this world. And Satan is doing a lot of things to people, and even everyone in this church. Now, a lot of times we're going through fire and everything, but we know that that's because we're Christians, and the unsaved are going through a lot of fire as well, because they don't have a consolation. There's nothing for them to look forward to. You know, it's very wonderful to know that in the event that we walk out the building here, or a sniper kills us, or we get in a car wreck, or if God simply takes the breath out of our body, that we're saved. That's incredible consolation. God is true and His promises are true. And like if you will give yourself to the Lord so that you can reap the benefits and know all the things that the Spirit tells you, and the Spirit has a lot to tell you, it's to your advantage, not to God's, but to your advantage to get saved, to come down and ask the Lord to enter your heart. And so right now, those of you that are out in Radio Land, why don't you just kneel down right now? If you're in your car, park it over on the side of the road someplace and bow your head and start asking the Lord to come into your heart. We're opening the altar right now. So those of you that don't know the Lord here in the church and those of you out in Radio Land, come on down and let's pray together with each other. All right? Come on down right now. And you'll be saved instantly, and God's power will come into your mortal body, into your spirit, and give you everlasting life. He'll give you permanent, eternal, everlasting life right now. So come on down and kneel, and we'll just say that simple prayer of faith to the Lord. All right? So there's room at the cross for you. Come on. But Father God, we thank and praise your holy name for your word, for your message, for your spirit, for the Old Testament and the New that you've given us this evening, and Lord, for the lessons from your word of Lord, how that we must walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lusts, and that we're going to be put through fire, and Lord, that we should endure hardship like a good soldier. Amen?
Amen.
Because the consolation is great. We have the kingdom of God and complete escape from hell if we continue to the end. Lord, we thank everyone that is out in the streets witnessing and testifying. We thank you for giving me the tracks, the literature. We thank you for the radio broadcast. We thank you for the shortwave broadcasts all over the world. And we thank you, Lord, for the television equipment that you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, for operators. We thank you for the different recordings you've given us, and that we're getting everything down now, Lord, to cassettes, to compact discs. We thank you for the people here in this church and for the singers and the musicians. Thank you for the food. And we thank you for those that prepared it, make it for the nourishment of our bodies. Give everyone your companionship as they go to wherever they're going to this evening. Lord, be with them in every minute of the day as they are with you in Jesus' mighty name. Bless the food and make it for the nourishment of our bodies in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
And you're dismissed and praise the Lord.
Praise.